May it please the court, counsel. Again, my name is James Gammon. I am here on behalf of plaintiff appellant in this matter, Mariana Casalo. The underlying action in this case is a claim against the appellee defendant for violation of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. However, this appeal arises specifically for an order entered by the district court for dismissal for want of prosecution.
I want to ask you what is my absolute bottom line question.
Sure.
Your brief does not contain any discussion of the merits of count three as a class action. Why do you believe this is a viable class action? Tell us.
Well, and I'll be fully honest with you, I don't have the answer to that question at this moment.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Albuquerque is the lead attorney on this case, and he has been prosecuting this case on the district court level. I know that he has indicated to me that discovery still needs to be conducted as to the viability of that class.
Can I ask you something? Did Mr. Albuquerque ask the state court if he could come here today to represent his client?
He did. He asked for an extension of time, both at the Daly Center for his jury trial as well as for an extension of time here in this court, and he was denied in both cases.
Well, I know he's denied here, but...
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm doing the best I can with the limited information I have, and I apologize. But I do know that when the class count was filed, that he did wish to take further discovery with regards to that, and he actually, I believe, did file a discovery request towards the end, right before the case was dismissed for want of prosecution.
So I have a slightly different question, which I'm also going to ask your opponent. Class actions, of course, are governed by Rule 23, and people normally say, you know, Smith individually and on behalf of a class or what have you. During the course of this ill-fated spring, did Mr. Albuquerque ever alert the district court judge to any interest in proceeding individually on Ms. Casalo's claim? Because to dismiss a class or to refuse to certify a class certainly doesn't dispose of a case.
Certainly. And absolutely. And that's one of our arguments is that since the beginning we've asserted as an individual count as well as a potential class count and has asserted that throughout the proceedings.
And the individual count, no one called to Judge Guzman's attention that, you know, by dismissing for want of prosecution on the class part of this case, you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater, more or less?
Off the top of my head, I don't recall if that was brought up in the motion to reconsider. If the court would recall, the district court dismissed the case without Mr. Albuquerque being present.
Right.
He was about 5 minutes late. He showed up, and the judge, the district court, said that he would not reconsider without a motion on file. And I believe,
as far as you know, the judge never stopped to think about this as a potential individual case on any of these counts.
At that particular time when the case was dismissed, it was dismissed as a whole, not as a class count, which I think would have been a much less severe sanction, is to dismiss the class counts and allow the plaintiff to proceed on individual action.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea between your filing the amended complaint in April and the dismissal of the case in June, do you have any idea of what you were conducting to determine the viability of class certification on count three?
My understanding is that discovery was informal discovery discussions were taking place, and I believe Mr. Albuquerque attempted to make that a part of the record, but however, he did not provide that in his motion to reconsider, so therefore it was not admitted to the record in this case. There was no formal discovery done. It was no formal filings done, but I do believe that he was advancing the case forward.
I'm sorry,
I do believe he was advancing the case forward in between that time to determine the viability. I don't know the specifics, and I apologize.
How many lawyers are there in your firm?
Mr. Albuquerque is a solo practitioner. He contracts out to me. I at one time was an associate of his, but he is on his own. He's got two support staff. Mm-hmm. But really, what I believe this issue comes down to is not so much on the merits of the case itself. It's really on the procedure of granting a dismissal for want of prosecution.
So would you concede that the district court would have been well within its discretion to have issued a ruling saying, I am not going to certify a class in this case because it simply has not been shown that this would be appropriate?
I would concede that as far as the first two counts, which the plaintiff has conceded that there are no viable counts class counts in that context. However, when we filed the amended complaint on March 31st, I still believe that that count should have at least gone forward as a, to see if there was a viable class count.
Did the judge ever establish a deadline for filing a motion for class certification?
Not explicitly. What happened was on the January 30 or 27th date, which is the first status date, the it was brought to the judge's attention that there might be an issue with the class count, so they wanted to do discovery, specifically two depositions of the defendant's employees, and then he set a deadline for the 28 days for that to happen. Instead, the parties had agreed to do affidavits instead, and on the March 10th date. When they were discussing the viability of the class game, it still was not had been determined, and the court specifically stated, if you want to supply me with a brief, I'm sorry, this is page 12, line 19 of the...
is where he says you can file a brief about class certification, but not actually, here's my deadline for the motion under, you know, Rule 23.
Exactly. It was a preliminary brief to flesh out the issues, not a specific deadline for a class certification motion. So when Mr. Albuquerque did not file that motion within the court's deadline, he was doing that because he was conceding the point to the court, that the court was correct in the fact that it did not have a viable class count on counts 1 and 2, and instead filed an amended complaint alleging a new class count, count 3, which needed to be fleshed out a little bit more. What Mr. Albuquerque was doing at that point was not wasting the court's or the party's time at this point. There was no point in briefing an issue which we were going to concede, and therefore saves the court time as well as the defendant time in not having to respond to a brief that is really a moot point at that point.
Here's what we don't know. What we do know is that the district court was keen to move the case forward. We don't know whether or not he was doing anything to prepare to move for class certification on count 3. We just do not know.
Certainly, and I understand that, because the informal discovery that was taking place and discussions between the plaintiff and defendant are not part of the record. However, it was a very short period of time, which did not warrant a dismissal for want of prosecution.
It wasn't the first problem here.
Excuse me?
Wasn't the first problem that the district court had with plaintiffs?
Well, I respectfully disagree. The main issue here was whether or not there was a class certification. It was one issue that was ongoing, but there was no failure to meet deadlines. Anytime that a deadline was close to being missed, Mr. Albuquerque, the plaintiff, did file a motion for an extension of time. Which he complied with. He appeared at all status hearings, albeit the March 18th status hearing. He was about 5 minutes late, but he did appear at all status hearings, and in no way was attempting to delay the case. And therefore, I think the record shows that there was no evidence to support a dismissal for want of prosecution.
He was 15 minutes late, but we won't quibble.
Sure. It was about 5 minutes after the case had been called. Which is no excuse, but as of 2 days prior, it was actually scheduled at 9:30 and was re-noticed for an hour earlier. That's neither here nor there. He did appear in court on the day, had the case recalled, and tried to plead his case as to why the case should not be dismissed for want of prosecution. He has been progressing the case as best he could and complying with all court orders.
Save some time.
Sure, I'll save some time.
At the end of the day, we get... whiny. All right, come on up, Mr. Swofford.
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Swofford on behalf of Defendant Harris and Harris. Of course, I don't want the court to forget the standard of review, which is abuse of discretion. That's my first thing.
How was Harris and Harris prejudiced by Casella's dilatory conduct in this case? How were you prejudiced?
Well, let's see. We've been in this case for a long time now.
How long?
How long?
God.
Well, since a year and a little over a year. And we have at no point dug in our heels or put up any roadblocks to the plaintiff in this case. We came into court on January 27th, 2010, saying that we were ready to resolve the individual claim in this case, and the plaintiff agreed that, yes, we were ready to resolve the individual claim. We in no manner dug in our heels on saying we wouldn't do discovery on the class claims.
But you know,
we made our people available, and we have incurred a lot of fees to this point in time.
Mr. Swofford, you are a remarkably fine lawyer, but when a judge interrupts you, there is a reason that the judge is interrupting you, and it really is not correct.
I'm sorry.
To just keep talking over us.
I didn't.
Please allow Judge Wood to ask her question.
My apologies. Judge Wood.
So the reason I'm asking this question is because I have in front of me a very detailed timeline of all the things that you're talking about, and we have only a 10-minute argument. And I wanted you to have an opportunity to respond to two major concerns that I have. One is that the district court judge never uttered the words to the parties, if you don't get the class action in shape, then I'm going to dismiss the whole action. Never gave the kind of warning that we look for in a case that's relatively short in duration, like this one. The filing of the complaint was in October, on October 19, 2009. All of this back and forth is happening in the spring of 2010, 6 or 7 months later. So no warning, number one. And number two, an apparent assumption on the part of the district court judge that if the case can't be certified as a class, it's dead. Now, that's not for the district court judge to decide. That's for the plaintiff to decide. Sometimes, as a practical matter, it is dead. But the judge doesn't show any glimmer of realizing that class certification is just a step.
I'm not sure I understood quite the second part of the question.
Well, the judge thinks that because the class isn't being developed, and he's frustrated with that, that the entire case has to be dismissed from
prosecution.
And I'm saying that under Rule 23C1, there is a process for filing a motion to certify a class, and district court judges sometimes set dates for that motion. This district court judge could have said, I'm never certifying a class here, I just don't see it. Nothing like that happens. Instead, the whole case gets thrown out the window.
Well, Mrs. Casalo individually sort of got lost here.
And the district court judge is partly responsible for her being lost.
And without any real objection by Mr. Albuquerque, by the way, I understand what you're saying. And part of the reason, of course, she got lost is because the parties were in agreement to begin with to resolve her claim. And plaintiff's attorney showed no interest in anything but trying to maintain this class action. And
the
entire focus.
The district court was able to set a schedule. The district court could have said on April the 5th, when he grants Casalo's motion to amend and the extension, he could have set a deadline for a motion for class certification. But I've looked at the docket. There is no deadline.
Well, the plaintiff asked for a time until April 7th, I believe. I mean,
that's the only deadline he missed, by the way.
That is,
and
but
why
I mean,
isn't the consequence simply that there's no class? Why is the consequence the loss of a whole case?
You know, the Judge Guzman never denied any request that Mr. Albuquerque ever made to file anything and for any extension of time. And the plaintiff did miss that one deadline, as you note, or although I suppose he also missed the deadline to file the brief that he asked for. But he never made any effort at all to develop the class, and that's why Judge Guzman ultimately grew weary.
This case isn't worth anything unless it's a class.
It's worth $1,000 as an individual claim, yes.
That's all. That's
and,
the bottom
and
line.
That's why the whole Miss Casalo got lost. And that, you know, I hate to be hard about this, that could be pretty easily remedied. But there was no point after 6 months when no discovery had been taken. And, you know, Judge,
supplied the affidavits. You had voluntarily supplied affidavits in lieu of discovery at one point.
We had, yes.
So, in a sense, no discovery is partly true. you guys had worked out an alternative to depositions at one point.
Yeah, we had as far as count one went, then there were two more counts that never went anywhere. I was just going to say, as far as, in a little bit of fairness to Judge Guzman, after he did enter the dismissal for want of prosecution, he invited Mr. Albuquerque to file a motion to reconsider, saying, just show me if you've done anything to forward this class action. And Mr. Albuquerque, in response, filed a motion to reconsider, and he didn't show that he had done anything to forward this matter as a class action.
And he didn't say anything about maintaining it as an individual action.
That's right. So it's a little unique as far as a dismissal for want of prosecution case goes, because he was really kind of dismissing the class action for want of prosecution, and which, of course, didn't prejudice the class whatsoever, because this was never certified to begin with.
Okay.
I would, kindly ask that district court judgment be affirmed. And my apologies, I got carried away with myself.
Sorry.
I didn't mean
Don't
to speak over you.
Because we're women, we know that.
No. Nothing about anybody's sex.
No.
I'm exuberant.
I know. I hope I didn't hurt your feelings.
No.
Come on up, Mr. Gay.
Briefly, I believe a lot of this could be resolved as to why no formal discovery was issued. Because the court indicated, first and foremost, there was no discovery order or plan developed on the first January 27th deadline or initial status date, and the parties had talked about that with the court. And then again on the March 10th deadline, when the district court asked the plaintiff to brief the issues of a preliminary brief as to why they may have a certifiable class issue, the circuit court said, go ahead and brief it, I guess, and this is around page 12, line 19 of that March 10th status. So if you can convince me that there really is a class, I guess we can go ahead with discovery on that basis. So essentially the court is saying that let's see if we have a class first, and then we can go ahead with discovery. And I believe, as far as the April 7th deadline goes, I don't believe that Mr. Albuquerque missed the deadline. He chose not to file anything on that deadline because there was no issues to brief. He conceded the court's point that there were no certifiable classes on counts 1 and 2, and it was only 7 days prior that the amended complaint had been filed to add that third count. So I believe that's why there was no motion filed on that date, by choice, not by missing a deadline. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Day, and thank you, Mr. Swofford. And the case will be taken under advisement, and we're going